Greetings and welcome to Word Magazine. This is Jeff Riddle, pastor of Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia. In this Word Magazine, which I'm filming right now in a classroom at Piedmont Virginia Community College where I teach. I know it looks like I'm in a prison cell or something like that. Awesome background, high quality production values, as you can see. But at any rate, if you can overlook the brick walls in the background and just concentrate on the presentation, I would appreciate it. So at any rate, in this episode, I want to look at the new edition of Mark's Gospel that has come out in the ECM, or the Editio Critica Maior. And so the ECM is a total revision that is being done right now of the critical, modern critical Greek New Testament. And the Editio Critica Maior is, again, applying the coherence-based genealogical method, the CBGM, to the New Testament. It started back in the late 1990s. In 1997, they published two volumes on the Catholic epistles from James to Jude. Then that was revised in 2013, but they applied the ECM, or the CBGM was applied to the ECM, and then the ECM was applied to the Catholic epistles. And then that was made part of the Nestle-Aland 28th edition in 2012. See, the ECM is a much bigger document that lists lots of more variants. And then the information in the ECM was boiled down a bit and put into the text of the Nestle-Aland 28th edition, which is a handbook, along with the UBS 5th edition. Those are the two most prominent modern critical text handbooks. So they did that with the Catholic epistles in 2012 in the Nestle-Aland 28th edition. Since that time, there was produced the ECM volumes on the book of Acts that came out in 2017. So it's been about 4 years. And now in 2021, finally, the Gospel of Mark has been printed and published in three volumes. And so this is now being shipped out, and we can see what the application of the CBGM is resulting in with respect to the Gospel of Mark. And so that's what I want to talk a little bit about and just give some initial thoughts and reactions to this. So let me begin by pulling up a couple things that we can look at. And let's start by looking at the ECM as it's being sold now by the German Bible Society. And this is the German Bible Society website where you can shop and buy their products. And you can see there those three volumes that are listed there are volumes 1, 2, and 3 of the new ECM of the Gospel of Mark. You can see that you can buy volume 1, which is the text and the extended apparatus, for 118 euros, and you can purchase volumes two and three, for 68 euros each, and you can purchase all three volumes together. Let's just look at this for a second. So you can get all three volumes together. And at the bottom, it says, the Editio Critica Maior documents the textual history of the Greek New Testament within the first millennium on the basis of the most important Greek manuscripts, ancient translations, and New Testament quotations in ancient Christian literature. After the volumes on the Acts of the Apostles and the Catholic Epistles have been available for several years, the first volume on a synoptic gospel, the Gospel of Mark, now follows. For this purpose, the original biblical text has been reconstructed with the help of a newly developed methodology, which has led to several changes. The volume is published in three parts. The first part offers the text, including the apparatus. The second part offers supplementary materials and overviews. The third volume provides a commentary on selected variants and a series of additional essays on individual aspects. This complete volume includes all three parts. So there it is. You can get all three volumes together for, this says 198 euros. I do not have these volumes. This is out of my price range. Thankfully, I don't live too far away from a major university library at University of Virginia. And it's very nice because all you have to have is a driver's license, and you can go in and use the University of Virginia library. I'm sure this will probably end up in there at some point. I was just looking at the price for these. You can get, all three volumes for 198 euros. And right now, 1 euro is about $1.18. So that would be about $233 if you want to get all three volumes. You can order the volumes individually. Volume one is 118 euros, which is about $139. And then volumes two and three at 68 euros each, about $80 each. So, you save, $70 or so if you get all three volumes together. Again, I have not purchased them, but these things are now being shipped out, and you're beginning to see various scholars do blog posts and videos about getting these things in hand. And one that I recently read was this post on the Evangelical Textual Criticism blog. This is from a couple of weeks ago on August the 19th. From Tommy Wasserman, who is a Swedish Baptist scholar. And he talked about getting in the mail the new ECM of the Gospel of Mark. And I'll put a link on my blog at jeffriddle.net to Tommy Wasserman's short article, and you can read it for yourself. Let me just summarize a little bit of what Wasserman draws from the new ECM volumes on the Gospel of Mark. You can see as the heading for this article he posts there, ECM of Mark, 33 changes to the initial text. And so the one significant thing about the ECM of Mark is that it chooses to make changes in 33 places to what it calls the initial text. And if you've been listening to my podcast, you've probably heard me talk before about this idea of an initial text, whereas textual critics of the 19th and 20th century would talk about attempting to reconstruct the original autograph. 21st century modern textual critics no longer believe that they can reconstruct the autograph. Instead, they say the best we can do is to reconstruct what they call the initial text, or they use the German term, the Ausgangstext. And basically, the initial text is simply saying this is the text as far back as we can reliably, as they believe it, historically reproduce the text. But the initial text is not to be confused with the authorial text or the autograph. It's simply a text that we construct, we can reconstruct as best it is. Whether or not it has any relationship to the authorial text or not, we can't say with certainty. And so this is now the way that modern textual critics approach the text of Scripture, not trying to get the original autograph, trying to get as close as they can, and also trying to open up windows into the history of early Christianity by looking at the transmission process. So the Nessalon 28th edition was the last handbook that came out, 2012, where the CBGM or the ECM was applied to the Catholic epistles. It had not been applied to any of the other parts of the New Testament in the Nessalon 28th edition. So it wasn't applied to the Gospel of Mark. And so now that the ECM of Mark is coming out, what Wasserman is reporting is that there are 33 places in the new ECM of Mark where there are changes made from the Nessalon 28th edition. He furthermore points out that there are 25 of these places, 25 of the 33 changes, where the editors have moved towards a reading that is found in the Byzantine text. Now, another thing, if you've been following the podcast, you know this, about 21st century textual criticism and the CBGM, is that scholars no longer talk about the various text families. They don't talk about the Alexandrian text or the Western text or the Caesarean text. The only actual text family that they continue to talk about is the Byzantine, because there's such a preponderance of evidence, a preponderance of manuscripts, they can say there is a Byzantine family. And one of the interesting things about the CBGM has been that it has suggested that some of those Byzantine readings, which typically were dismissed in previous generations of the 19th and 20th centuries being secondary and spurious, they're now arguing, based on the genealogical relationships that they're tracing through this computer program called the CBGM, that some of these Byzantine readings are, in fact, they're saying, the earliest. And so there's some vindication for those of us who are defenders of the traditional text in that this new method is suggesting that many of the Byzantine readings are, in fact, the earliest and best. And so there are 25 out of 33 places where the change is toward the Byzantine text. He also points out in this article, however, that there are at least five places where the ECM of Mark moves away from a Byzantine reading that was previously affirmed in the Nessalon 28th edition. And then finally, he points out that there are 126 places where there is, quote, a split guiding line, that is, where the decision between two competing variants is left open. And this is a new thing about the ECM, that it has some readings where the editors choose not to make a decision, but they give two options for the reader so that he can come up or she can come up with his or her own assessment, a subjective assessment of what the proper text should be. So I want to see if we can go now and look at some of these 33 changes that have been made. And again, I don't have a hard copy of the ECM of Mark. It's out of my price range, but they have put out, the Institute in Munster has put out a couple of PDFs where they list these changes. And let me pull up, first of all, hopefully you can see this PDF. And I will put a link to this so that you can look at it yourself. But they have given us a very helpful listing of the 33 places where there is a change from the Nessalon 28 edition in the ECM of Mark. And you can see here that there are three columns, right? So first it says Mark, and then the first reference is to where in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 2, etc. Then in the middle column, they've given you the reading that has been accepted now in the ECM of Mark 2021. And then in the third column, they've given you the old reading as it was in the Nessalon 28th edition. And again, you can go from Mark 1:1 down to the very end. The last variant change it is listed is in Mark 16, verse 19. And it's also interesting, if you look at this, you can see that if they have made the reading conform to the Byzantine text, they've put in bold the abbreviation BYZ for Byzantine. So let's look at this first example. In the Nessalon 28th edition, in Mark 1:1, there's a controversial passage. This is the very beginning of the Gospel of Mark. It reads, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And of course, there are two Christological titles that are ascribed there to Jesus. He is Christ and he is the Son of God. And there are some manuscripts that don't have the title, the Son of God. And so in the Nestle-Lon 28th edition, Huiu Theou was put in brackets to suggest some question about its originality and authenticity. But in the new edition of the ECM, those brackets have been removed, so the text reads now, Huiu Tu Theou, the Son of God. So the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, it's there in the ECM now without brackets. And this is one of those 25 changes where the text has moved from what was in the NA 28 to a reading that is in the Byzantine text. And of course, usually the Byzantine text lines up with the Textus Receptus. So usually they're identical, but not always. There's another example we can look here in Mark 1 and verse 2. In Mark 1, 2, it begins, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face. And in the Nestle-Lon 28th edition, you can see the mark through, which means there was no word there. And whereas in the ECM now, they have added the Byzantine reading, which includes the nominative pronoun, first-person pronoun, ego, which is found in the Byzantine text and also in the Textus Receptus, where it reads, behold, I, ego, send my messenger. So it's just a matter of one word, whereas the reading in Mark 1:1 is a matter of three words. So what you notice, first of all, is in all this list is that most of these changes involve just very little content. One word, two words, that's the sum of it. And so again, you can just see every time you see a BYZ, the reading has shifted towards the Byzantine reading. Let's look at the example in Mark 1:4. In the Nestle-Lon 28th edition, it had included the article ha, but in brackets. And now in the Byzantine, that article does not appear. And that's the reading that has been adopted now in the ECM. So again, if you just look down this list, every time you see a BYZ, it means that they have adopted in the ECM the text that is closer to the traditional text, typically the Byzantine and the TR text. However, you will also notice places, if you look in this column, where you'll see in the Nestle-Lon 28th edition, there was a Byzantine reading, but that reading has been altered or changed in the ECM. So we could look, for example, at Mark 7, verse 35. In the Byzantine text, there is the adverb eutheos, immediately. It's put in brackets in the Nestle-Lon 28th edition, but it's completely omitted now in the ECM. So the ECM giveth and the ECM taketh away, I guess we could say. In this case, however, it appears as though the ECM has given more than it has taken away, and that, again, 25 readings have shifted toward the Byzantine, typically the TR reading, whereas in five cases, you can see places where the reading has shifted from away from a Byzantine reading that was in the Nestle-Lon 28th edition. I went through all 33 of these changes. Let me get off this for just a second. I went through all 33 of these changes, and I looked at each one closely. I read it in first of all in my copy of Scribner's TR, And then I compared it in the Nessalon 28th edition. And then I compared it in the Robinson Pierpont Byzantine text form. And so I took, again, I took a fairly close look at all 33 of these changes. Again, I'm struck by the fact that most of them are, we might say, you know, fairly insignificant. I said it's nice that there are 25 changes toward the Byzantine, but the Byzantine and the TR do not always agree in every point. And so there are actually a couple places where the ECM adopts a Byzantine reading, but it's not a TR reading. So we shouldn't get too excited about those, all 25 of those changes. Here's some notes that I wrote down, my assessment after looking through these changes. I found six places where the ECM departs from the Byzantine. I found one place that wasn't, I don't think was listed by Wasserman. It's at Mark 4:15. And I found one place where the ECM departs from the Byzantine, but it moves towards the TR reading. And that's in Mark 3:32. And then I found two places where the ECM moves to the Byzantine, but it departs from the TR. So let me see if I can pull this back up again and call attention to those two places in particular. Let me see if I can pull this back up. All right. So one of the places is in Mark 4, verse 31. You can see that the reading in the NA28 was kako, and in the ECM now it's kakan. In this case, we're talking about a difference of two letters. Is it going to be the omega at the end, or is it going to be an omicron nu? And in this case, the ECM has moved to the Byzantine reading, but the TR reading is actually the same as it was in the NA28. It was kako, and that's related to the parable of the mustard seed. And then the other place is in chapter 10 and verse 25. In the reading in the NA28 was DL Thain, and it in the ECM it changed to the reading Ice El Thain. And although that's a move to the Byzantine, that is away from the TR. The TR reading was DL Thain. So let me just turn to that passage real quickly in Mark 10 and verse 25. Here's how it reads. This is the follow-up to Christ's teaching after the encounter with the rich ruler. It says, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And in the NA28 and also in the TR, the first to go through the eye of a needle is DL Thain. And then for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God is Ice El Thain. And so the TR here was the same as the reading in the NA28, but the ECM has now moved to a reading where instead of DL Thain and then later Ice El Thain, it includes the reading Ice El Thain from Ice Erkomai two times, the same verb. And that's the reading that's found in the Byzantine. So this is an example of a place where the Byzantine, the TR readings are not always the same. Let me go back to that example, a place where the ECM departs from the Byzantine, but it moves towards the TR. Let's see. This is in 3:32. See if I got my notes correctly. Yeah. And in the ECM, it used to include in brackets chi Hi, Adelphi, Sue, and your sisters. And so let me just read the context. This is in Mark 3:32. Mark 3:32, this is where the family of Jesus is coming to him while he's talking with his disciples. In Mark 3:32, it says, "And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee." And in the Byzantine text, however, in addition to thy mother and thy brethren, it also says, and thy sisters. And that's there in the Nestle on 28th edition, following the Byzantine reading. But in the ECM, that phrase has been removed. So this would be an example of a place where the Byzantine or the ECM has moved away from the Byzantine text. And oddly enough, it's moved towards the TR text. So anyways, there are, again, by and large, from what I can see, hugely significant, theologically significant differences. We don't have in the ECM of Mark, as I've understood it so far, we don't have any of the type of things we saw like in 2 Peter 3:10, where there was the addition of a total conjecture of the negative particle, ook. I don't see that, at least in the 33 changes that the INTF, the German Institute in Münster, that they've suggested as differences between the NA28 and the ECM. Of course, I haven't seen the whole layout. I'm not really sure what they're doing with the ending of Mark. I feel sure that they're including the so-called shorter ending between verses 8 and 9. They're trying to move away from brackets. We already mentioned their removal of the brackets at Mark 1:1 around the term the Son of God. I'm not sure how they're indicating. I'm sure they're indicating in some way their questions about the authenticity of the ending of Mark. Let me also look while we're at it at those split line readings that are also part of the ECM, 126 of them. And let me see if we can go back to the article by Wasserman. If you're there, you can see he says, further, there are 126 places where the editors print a split guiding line, i.e. where the decision between two competing variants is left open. And you can also find the PDF for the listing of all 126 places where they have basically a split decision. And you can see it's the same sort of format where they list the reference point. This is Mark 1:2. You can see, though, they give you two options. So at Mark 1:2, first option is to have the adverb kathos. Second option is to have a sort of a shorter form of an adverb os, as it reads in the Byzantine. And so this would be an example of one of these split readings, or what do they call it? Passages with a split guiding line. And so let me see if I can, I had jotted down a couple of these that I was gonna call attention to if I can find it. Yeah, let me just give you a couple of examples. We already looked at the one at one two. Let's go down and look at an example here from 331 in Mark 331. It's giving you two choices. One is kai erketai, he meter autu kai hoi adelphoi autu. That's one option, and his mother and his brethren. Actually, it's erketai, so that's a third person singular from erkamai. So the subject would be his mother, and his mother comes and his brothers. Whereas the second option is kai er kantai, which is a third person plural from er kamai. And that this would make the subject being his mother and his brethren came. Neither one of those readings is the one that is that precisely corresponds with the TR reading or the Byzantine reading, but they've given two options there at that place. And then at the very end in Mark 16:20, it's an interesting split decision. They've listed the possibility of including the amen, as in the Byzantine reading, amen, or of omitting it in 16:20. So they've given you 126 places in the Gospel of Mark where they basically have said, we're not sure what the reading, proper reading is. We're going to give you two choices and you can come to your own view and conclusion on that. When I read that, it called to mind the book by David C. Parker, Textual Scholarship and the Making of the New Testament. And of course, David C. Parker is involved in the editing of the ECM of the Gospel of John, which will probably be the next one to come out. We've got the Catholic Epistles, we've got Acts, we've got Mark. The next one to come out will probably be the Gospel of John. And David C. Parker is working on this. This is why it's I chuckled when Peter Gurry attempted to try to deny that David C. Parker is an influential person in contemporary textual criticism. But when I read this several years ago, this before the ECM stuff was really coming out, he talks about what they're doing with the ECM. And he says that really their goal is to produce a modern critical Greek New Testament that is very malleable, and that the reader basically gets to choose his own text. He says on page 137 of this book, Textual Scholarship and the Making of the New Testament, he says, talking about the consequences of both the digital age and this new method, the CBGM, he says, the other consequence is that the user will potentially be able to select any witness as the base text and to see how the rest of the tradition looks from a new point of view. From that, we can imagine future online editions where users will be able to build their own text. The very next page, he says, page 138, users will be able to build their own critical text. And there was a quotation I wanted to use from a little earlier. This is on page 124. He says, I will close by repeating that we have the technology to build on existing editions instead of starting afresh each time. Because of this, the Editio Critica Maior, the ECM, has the potential to be different from every edition that has gone before. Moreover, a digital edition needs never be finished, but can instead be an ever-improving tool for studying the New Testament text. The Editio Critica Maior is therefore not the completion of an era in scholarship, but the beginning of a new one. And so now we're seeing the fruit of this vision that David C. Parker and others have had of a new modern critical Greek text, the ECM, which provides the possibility for the reader to establish his own critical text. Of course, I've raised questions about the wisdom of this, the wisdom of departing from the traditional text. If there is no stable text, if everyone subjectively creates his own text, what authority do we have for understanding the Word of God? How can we preach clearly from the Word of God when you've got your text of the Word of God, I've got my text, someone else has their text, and so forth. And I think what unfortunately this will serve to do is undermine the epistemological foundations of historic traditional Christianity. Well, I'll bring this episode of Word Magazine to a close. Again, I'll put a post at jeffriddle.net where I'll have a link to the Wasserman article and a link to the German Bible Society shop where you can see these documents that are for sale. And I'll also put links to the two PDFs, the PDF that is coming from the Institute for New Testament Textual Research at Münster, which lists these 33 changes from the NA28 to the new ECM of Mark, and also lists these 126 split readings that are now incorporated into the ECM of the Gospel of Mark. Well, I hope that this Word Magazine has been helpful to those who are listening, and I'll look forward to speaking to you in the next Word Magazine. Till then, take care and God bless.